Okay, so Luke chapter 8, 22 to 25. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake, so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him."
Please leave your Bibles open there at chapter 8 of Luke. Let's pray before we get to God's word. Father God, we pray that we would hear you speak to us this morning. We pray that we would be reminded of how awesome you are. We pray for that you would inspire awe in our hearts as we stand in your presence and hear from your word this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One summer night, during a quite serious thunderstorm, similar to what we heard here earlier, a young child was being comforted by her mother, by his mother in his bedroom. And she was about to turn the light off when the little boy said, "Mum, will you stay with me all night?" Mum smiled at him and said, and gave him a tender hug. And then she said to him, "I can't, dear. I have to sleep in Daddy's room." And a long silence went after this, when was broken by the quiet words of the big sissy. Fear is a very common aspect of our human experience, isn't it? Children are often fearful of the dark. They're often afraid of big storms. And adults, well, we have different kinds of fears, don't we? We fear health problems. We fear a relationship breakdowns. We fear financial hardships. However, sometimes it can be good to have a sensible amount of fear. We're getting close to that time when the weather is quite a bit warmer, when all of the snakes start to come out. And I think for most of us, self-preservation makes us a little bit concerned about walking through long grass or picking up corrugated iron that's been sitting on the ground for some time. We have a sensible amount of fear because there is a real danger. There is something to be respected there. When we use a chainsaw or a firearm or any kind of dangerous piece of machinery, having a healthy amount of fear for those things can keep us safe and those around us safe. Fear isn't always a bad thing. In fact, it's often a good thing. It can keep us out of danger. It can protect us and others around us from taking our safety for granted. But when we fear the wrong things, it can enslave us as we become caught up in fearing things that are outside of our control. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, a verse I'm sure you've all heard and know well. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." When we get caught up in fearing things that we cannot control, we lose sight of God's love and care for his people. When we rightly fear the Lord, when we rightly respect the one who is good but who is not tame, when we recognize the power and authority that he has, and we understand the serious consequences of failing to treat the power of an authority of the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth without respect, when we realize the seriousness of being in God's presence, we wisely fear and honor the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. and we recognize that he is God and we are not. Only a fool would stand in God's presence without fear or respect. While those who fear the Lord, those who have respect and awe when standing in his presence, when approaching him, do so because they understand who he is. Because they know that he is good, but he cannot be tamed. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got in the boat and set out. Now, I think the equivalent of this scene for many of us would be going for a drive down the paddock. After all, many of these disciples were fishermen by trade. So going for a bit of a boat ride across the lake is, they were in their element. It's not much different to a farmer taking a drive to go and have a look and check his sheep. These men knew what they were doing. They were comfortable heading across those waters. The lake they're crossing, they'd no doubt crossed many times before as they fished in that area. They would have known the reputation of this particular area for sudden and very violent storms as the wind swept down the caves and channels nearby and into the water. And as they set out, Jesus, who was no doubt tired and weary from all of the speaking to the crowds, went to sleep in the back of the boat. The Gospel of Mark tells us that he had a cushion, but let's not be confused. This was not luxurious. He would have been crunched up in the back of a reasonably small boat. But he was obviously extremely tired. And it seems that no sooner had Jesus fallen asleep than a sudden and violent storm came upon the lake, like a hurricane. The wind and the waves were so powerful, so violent, that the boat was being swamped. The waves were crashing against it and the water was coming in. And the reality that the boat would likely sink, well, it was hitting home for the disciples. Let's not forget, these guys were fishermen. These guys were seasoned in the water. Now, the boats that they used in those days, they weren't big boats. This was Jesus and his disciples. They would have filled up the majority of that boat. And so the fact that Jesus remained asleep through all of this commotion, while the boat was rocking violently to and fro, while water was splashing in, his pillow probably getting wet, it must have been quite astonishing that he hadn't woken up. The disciples were probably shouting at each other, probably even getting frustrated that they couldn't get through the water. But in the midst of this powerful storm, Jesus continued to rest. And so out of fear, the disciples woke up Jesus saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." Now, I think at this point, we're meant to stop and look at this scene and think about the implications of what's going on here. Here we have Jesus, the creator and sustainer of life. And he's resting in the back of this boat, completely calm despite this incredible storm. And here we have his creatures, seasoned fishermen, freaking out, really stressed, really worried and afraid for their lives. And as they woke up, the creator of all things, it's almost as if they thought that this storm was outside of his control. In fact, it's hard to know what they even expected that Jesus was going to do. Were they simply looking for someone else to row? Were they just frustrated at him because he was resting while they were doing all of the work? Whatever they expected him to do, it certainly wasn't what he did next. Jesus got up and he rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided. Everything went calm and quiet, and it was almost as if the storm had never even taken place. And Jesus turned to the disciples and said, "Where is your faith?" As the waters were crashing against the boat, the disciples were overcome with fear. They were afraid of this storm. But as the storm subsided, as everything went still and quiet, the fear that struck them was far more intense than their fear of the storm. God's power to control the wind and the waves was prophesied all the way back in Psalm 107. Psalm 107 says, "They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed." The disciples may have heard this psalm read in the past. They may have heard it and known it. And so when Jesus spoke and the storm was still, it must have been abundantly clear to them that they were standing in the presence of God. And they said to each other, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." They had been afraid of the storm, but when they realized that they were in the presence of God, a great fear, an intense fear came upon them. A sense of awe. Something that my father used to say when he was alive, I used to often call something awesome. And he would often tell me that I cannot use the word awesome for that thing because only God is awesome. Only God is totally, totally to be respected. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The disciples, however, had foolishly descended into despair in the midst of this storm. When they realized that they were in the presence of God, they were filled with fear. Now, this isn't saying that they were afraid of Jesus. Don't misunderstand that. But that they were struck with a deep sense of respect and awe for the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. In that moment, it was extremely clear to them that Jesus is God and that they are his creatures. In that moment of clarity, they were able to see a glimpse of the glory of Jesus as he spoke, and his creation obeyed his very word. As they stood still in the presence of God, all of a sudden, the storm seemed insignificant compared to the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. Everything was put into perspective as they stood in the presence of their Creator. Now, don't imagine that many of us are likely to find ourselves in a little boat in an incredible storm. But all of us either have at the moment or will have storms in our lives. We all experience times in our lives that feel as though our circumstances are utterly impossible. When it feels as though our situation is completely hopeless. Times when we recognize that we cannot escape our troubles on our own. But no matter how far out of control we feel, no matter how hard our circumstances are to bear, those who fear the Lord have no need to fear the storms of this life. And that isn't because of who we are or anything that we have done, but because of who Jesus is and because of what he has done. Jesus is Lord of everything. And because he is Lord of everything, he has the power and authority to provide for our every need. Now, imagine some of us might be struggling with the language of fearing the Lord. The idea of fearing God might even be offensive to some. But keep in mind that it would be utterly futile to serve a God that doesn't deserve our fear, who doesn't command our respect or our awe, because that would be a God that we had created in our own image, a God that we had tamed in our mind. that certainly isn't the God of Scripture. That certainly isn't the God who revealed himself through his word and through his son. The one who spoke all things into being. The one who spoke and the waves stood still. When the disciples woke Jesus up and warned him that they were about to drown, they were essentially saying, why would God allow this situation to happen? After all, Jesus had told them that they were heading to the other side of the lake. Why would God allow them to drown in the middle? I'm sure that all of us at some point or another have had this same thought. Why would God allow this situation to happen? Why would God be putting us, be putting me or you in this situation? Why must I go through this storm? Why must I go through the shadow of the valley of death? And I think the answer to this question can be found in John chapter 9. There the disciples asked Jesus what caused the blind man to become blind. And what the disciples were really asking was, did he sin or did his parents sin? Who's to blame? And Jesus replied, this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. This happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. It would have been easy for the blind man to blame God for his circumstances, wouldn't it? And there are times in our lives when we are tempted to blame God or to fall into a state of despair. But Jesus says, these things happen so that the work of God might be displayed through our lives too. As Romans 8:28 says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. We looked at this at men's Bible study a few weeks ago. This might not always work out how we would want the circumstances of our lives to work out. It might not be our ideal in this life, but God is always at work for our eternal good. Once Jesus had calmed the storm, well, he challenged the disciples and asked them, where is your faith? They were afraid of the storm. They were at fear for their lives. Yet the one who gives life was resting in the back of the boat. How quickly and how often do we give in to fear? And do we run, are we panic? Or we descend into despair rather than approaching Christ, approaching our Savior with confidence. It's very likely that the disciples had already tried everything they possibly could have done, used all of their experience as fishermen to try and save themselves until out of desperation, they finally went to Jesus and woke him up. It wasn't until after Jesus had saved them from this violent storm, with just a few words, that they finally realized that they were in the presence of God. And their circumstances were put into perspective. For those with faith in Christ, this life is not all there is. Even though I think there are times for all of us when it feels as though it is. We have no need to be afraid. We do not need to fall into despair or depression, because the one who has the power over life and death, the one who through his life, death and resurrection removed our guilt and shame, has all authority in heaven and on earth. There are many things in this life that cause pain and sorrow, that cause deep regret and hurt. There are times when all of us are tempted to despair. But if our hope is in Christ, we can be sure that he is at work for our eternal good, and that whatever trials we may be facing or may be to come, these things are happening so that the work of God might be displayed through us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we have heard your word this morning, we pray that you would help us to rest at the foot of the cross. We pray that you would help us to stand in your presence, to rest on the hope that we have in you. An active rest, a rest that finds confidence in you. Lord, we pray that you would deliver us from the storms of our lives, that you would, through those difficult circumstances, whatever they may be, you might draw us nearer to you, that we might be more dependent on you, that we might continue to be finding our strength in you and trusting you. For you are the one with all authority in heaven and on earth, and we are your creatures. Amen.